Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 9, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Jehovah, hear my words. To my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to thee. And what follows in the one, stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 9.
Thank you. wish to read from God's holy and precious word from the Acts of the Apostles. We will continue from where we left off this morning, chapter 2, verse 14 to 41. But before that, the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 2, starting with verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, And it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may read that they in that day were gathered in one place not only, but that they were gathered in one accord. And we may be now gathered in one place, but wilt thou also gather us with one accord, that we may have one heart that may be lifted up before thee in this afternoon hour. Because when we are in one accord, then it is so easy to forgive one another all of the trespasses against ourselves. Then it is so easy to live in peace and in unity when we may be gathered in one accord. Then we may have one heart that has one need and that lifts itself up with one cry, because we all need that same thing. Oh, then it is of thee alone that we would be able so to be gathered in this afternoon with one need, with that one thing needful bound upon our hearts, a cry unto thee who sits on the right hand of glory, and that thou may provide for us what thou hast provided in that day of Pentecost. When they may be gathered with one accord in a prayer and in supplication before thee, one accord in confession of iniquity, sin, and guilt, one accord in the confession of all our corruption, of our deep fall, one accord in the love of thee, in the desire for thee, for thy blessed communion, for thy favor. O Lord, that thou thyself mayst so work in this hour, because thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, they were one in their looking for that promise which thou hadst given unto them, and looking for the fulfillment, looking for the power to be experienced in themselves for the sake also of others. And when they may be so gathered, oh, then thou didst come at thy time. And then we do not know what thy time is. For as thou hast said unto thy disciples, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But it is for us to supplicate unto thee, and that thou mayst so look upon us with our children, because we are living in the end of this world. wherein thy spirit is felt less and less, so that it is so often feared that thy candlestick also will be taken out of our midst. Oh, that is what we deserve because of our sin, because we are they that have been brought up under thy truth, and we have known it so well, so that we are able to speak of it to one another. But we have left thee days without number, and our hearts, they are cleaving unto this world, and we are so careless about thy honor and thy glory, and about the need of our poor, never dying souls. O Lord, who is able to bind that matter upon his own heart, or upon the hearts of his sons or daughters, or upon the heart of his congregation? O Lord, thou alone art able. We ask it of thee even in this hour, that thou would send forth thy spirit from thy from the place of thy glory, and that thou may come unto us and unto our children to work with might and with power in our midst, that we may feel, that we may experience that power, that it may be known in the heart by a true regeneration, a raising of the dead, a work so powerful and so irresistible that all of hell will not be able to resist it. O Lord, we ask of thee to show thyself for the sake of thy honor and thy glory, and because we claim to have thy truth in the midst of this world. But oh, then the enemy, then he mocks, because that we are so cleaving unto this world, and because our lives, they are not as they ought to be. O Lord, we ask of thee that thou wouldst come for the first or by renewal, and that it may be experienced and felt in this day wherein we may commemorate the pouring forth of thy Spirit in the midst of thy church. And then for the sake of the coming of thy kingdom, that they may be brought in even from the east and from the west, and that they may come, that they may sit down in thy kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. O bring thy word then unto the ends of the earth. Increase the number of thy truly sent servants, that they may also go to the places where thy word has not been heard, or where there is only deceit and guile, where there is hypocrisy, where thy word is brought but not in truth and in uprightness, where a power and ability is attributed unto men by the common workings of thy Holy Spirit, wherein the devil does deceive men, even under thy holy name, to bring even unto himself. O Lord, wilt thou care for us in thy mercy in the time in which we live with our children? Remember thou our government. Lord, thou knowest also what is necessary. They have a responsibility. They must give an account before thee. But how many of them have no fear of God before their eyes, so that there is a serious consideration to make it lawful for a man to help to slay himself, or to take his own life, which is precious, and which thou hast given unto him? O Lord, we beseech thee, thou alone who art able to stop us as a nation in that way that we are traveling. O, we beseech thee, wilt thou show us thy hand? And wilt thou do wonders for us, as we are not able to do for ourselves? But wilt thou stop us in our mad career? And wilt thou have mercy upon us as nations, and that we may be brought back to thy word and to thy testimony? Do remember our school, all that is for the sake of our rising generation, that it may exist in the midst of this world. All thou hast given it unto us. Thou hast given us an administration, a school board. Thou hast given us teachers to stand before our children. Thou hast provided the means so that in all these years that it may exist and that our children may be instructed therein. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou wouldst also uphold it in all that comes against it, and that thou wouldst grant that it may continue, and that thou wouldst grant the fear of thy name in that place, or that there may be a felt fear of God in their midst, that there may be a fear to step over a straw, or that sin may be felt to be sin, and that there may be a searching for that way wherein a man may be reconciled with his Maker. Lord, that thou may look upon each and every one. Give us as parents to know, to feel our duty in the midst of our families, to restrain our children, that they may not be permitted to go the way of their own heart. For we are given this responsibility by thee, and that as long as we are able, O Lord, that thou thyself would give us faithfulness, give us wisdom, and give us the fear of thy name, O that we may need thee every day, and that thou, that we also could not let thee go except that thou wouldst bless us. Remember all the afflicted and all the sick, all those that mourn, all those that are ailing, and all that have crosses that they are not able to bear in their own strength. Wilt thou supply, and wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon hour also, in this hour wherein we are called to bring a little portion of thy word. O Lord, we ask of thee the help, the guidance, the unction of thy Holy Spirit in this hour. O that it may be felt in our midst, and that it is not the word of a man, but that the word of thee may enter into the hearts of many, that it may prick us in the heart, and that we may be granted that true regeneration. Hear us, O Lord, hear us for the sake of thy only begotten and thy dearly beloved Son. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 138, stanzas 1 through 4. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men, my statutes why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth, since ye for wisdom do not care? For ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain. The last collection today is for the North American General Mission, and Psalter 138, all four stanzas. Beloved congregation, when the Lord Jesus was born, then we can read that the shepherds and the wise men went to see the child. There they bowed before him. There they worshipped him. What a precious sight was that child in the eyes of the shepherds and in the eyes of those wise men. Today we may commemorate the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit of the Lord in the midst of his church. That is not the second, but that is the third person of that holy and divine Trinity. But that Holy Spirit is not able to be seen. Why not? Because a spirit, children, that is not something that we can see. That does not mean that it does not exist. Because today men say that if you cannot see it and you cannot touch it, then it is something that does not exist. But that is so evidently so untrue. The Lord Jesus, he said that the wind that blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof. And so when you are lying sometimes in your bed, and then sometimes you will say to your brother or to your sister, the wind that is blowing. Why? Well, not because that you can see it, but because you can hear the effects of that wind. Thus, the presence of that wind may be known by its effects. And so we read the Lord Jesus is speaking about the Spirit of the Lord. That is something that cannot be seen with our eyes, but that is something that may be known, his presence may be known by the effects which it is bringing forth. So Peter, he says here, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Thus, we heard something of this in this morning hour. Things that were seen, that is, cloven tongues, things that were heard, that is, the opening of the mouth of the apostles of the Lord, that they may speak in a way, and that everyone that may hear from whatever quarter of this world may be given to understand. But those gifts of speaking, they were not an end in themselves. They were not given for the apostles in order that they may receive honor, that they may receive glory in it. They were not a gift to the apostles in order that they may end in that gift. No, that it was a gift to the servants of the Lord for a much greater, for a much higher purpose. The Lord, he had a much greater end in view in the sending forth of that Holy Spirit. What did we hear out of the Word of God? We read that there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Thus, in that day, 3,000 souls were added unto the kingdom of God. What a powerful effect of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. What a proof of the presence of that third person of that Holy Trinity sent forth from the right hand of God. What a wonder that that would now be. On this day of the commemoration of the sending forth of the Spirit of the Lord, that there would be one soul that may be gathered in to that kingdom of God. One child, one father, one mother, one grandfather, one grandmother, whose heart may be broken in this day. And we may ask for it, and we do ask for it. But to us now belong the means. Thus, what were those means? The means by which 3,000 may be gathered in that day. Well, we read this in the words of our text, which we wish with the Lord's help to consider in this hour. May the Lord sanctify them in our midst. Acts 2, the 23rd verse. Acts 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So far, the words of our text. Peter's bold accusation on the day of Pentecost. First, the substance of this accusation, what it was that he has accused them of. And second, the blessing upon this accusation, Peter's bold accusation upon the day of Pentecost, first the substance, second the blessing upon this accusation. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. How bold. How bold of Peter. He has no fear. And then he stands there not before one man, but he stands there before many men. He stands there before a great multitude of people. And he proclaims against them a scathing accusation. Oh, what a boldness. That was not a boldness that was of Peter. No, then we see Peter, when he was in that hall of Caiaphas, then it was only a little girl that can say unto Peter, thou wast also with him. And that fear of man that has dwelt also in the heart of the disciple of the Lord. So when that spear would leave him for one moment, and then Peter, he is shrinking away. And then Peter, he is cursing and he is swearing, and that I know not this man. But we see now the effect of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Also in the heart of his disciple, who loved the Lord Jesus with all his heart, but who needed that holy boldness to be provided from heaven itself to make him bold, to make him faithful. The Lord Jesus says, I will give you a mouth and I will give you wisdom that all your adversaries will not be able to gainsay nor resist. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Him whom? Well, Peter says, he calls him Jesus of Nazareth. He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, and so on. Him being delivered. Jesus of Nazareth. That is that name by which the Lord was despised by so many in this world? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Or than it was upon the lips of the enemies of the Lord that they have taken up this name in a despicable way, that they may deride him and that they may call him Jesus of Nazareth. But the Lord and the church of the Lord does glory in this name. Peter, he is not ashamed of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, he proclaimed that humiliation. And that church of the Lord, even to the end of the world, and they shall not be ashamed, and they shall not be made ashamed of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. What is it? It is an accusation. It is an accusation of what? It is an accusation of murder. You say, how is that an accusation of murder? Because there was not just one man that did slay him, then you say that is murder. But if a man has stood before a judge, then it is the task of the judge that he may make a judgment, and the Lord Jesus has been sentenced, and so he has been put to death. And that indeed, that is not murder. That is so. And yet we read in God's word that the Pharisees, that the scribe, that the council, that they have specifically sought false witness that they might put him to death. Thus, it is murder, but it is murder under the pretense of right. It is murder under the pretense of that which is just. Man seeks pretenses that he may cover his sin, that he may pretend to be doing something which is right and something which is good, even as an Ananias, as a Sapphira, but hiding his wickedness under this pretense. But here we read that the Spirit of the Lord, he is uncovering the pretenses of men. That is the work of the Spirit. That is the way of the Spirit. Did the Lord ever uncover the pretenses under which that you have tried to hide your sin? A sinner, he seeks darkness. In the dark, that is where Satan works. But what does the Holy Spirit do? The Spirit, he brings into the light. And he sheds light where man, he seeks to hide in the darkness. Oh, did the Lord ever shed that light upon your life? Upon your whole life? So that those things that you have sought to hide, maybe even from the face of the Lord, that they stood so out in the open, and that you stood, as it were, naked before God. You read in the Scripture, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. And if it is not revealed in this life, then it is going to be revealed by that Spirit of the Lord when we are standing at that judgment in the day of our death and in that great day of days. Him him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It is an accusation. What kind of an accusation is it? It is a personal accusation. It says, ye have taken. That is the way of the Spirit of the Lord. Did you ever experience this to be the way of the Spirit of the Lord? That the Spirit of the Lord, he has said, ye, what do we do? We say, me? No, not me. No, we cast it upon others, children. We say, mother, father, it was not me. It was him. It was her. What did Adam say? Adam said, the woman, whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the fruit, and I did eat. That is the way of man. That it was the way of fallen man. That is our way. What did Eve say? She said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And what does the Spirit say? When the Spirit comes, oh, how may we know something of the presence of that Spirit? What are the effects? What is felt? What is experienced in the soul of a man? You know what is experienced? Ye. Did you ever experience the presence of the Spirit of the Lord in your own heart? But you say, it was not that multitude, actually, because, well, it was Pilate, and it was really the soldiers, was it not? Was it not the soldiers who have taken him in their hands and crucified him? Peter says this. Peter acknowledges this. He says, by wicked hands. Yes, he says, it was by the heathens. Yes, he says, it was by the Gentiles. But he says, it was ye. Thus, though it was by the heathens, though it was by the Gentiles, still, he says that you are not able to escape from this. That is, congregation, the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Do we know something? Do we know something of the working of the Spirit of the Lord in our life? By this effect, when he convinces of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and when every excuse that we do take to ourselves, that we seek to hide behind, that Spirit of the Lord, he is ripping away and bringing us to stand before the sight of an all-knowing God. So that to David, he cannot say, David cannot say, it was the enemy that has slain Bathsheba's husband, no. But the Lord says, thou art the man. Oh, did the Lord, did he ever say, ye, in your life? There is more. Peter, he says, him. Being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. What is that? Well, he acknowledges the foreknowledge of God. He acknowledges the determinate counsel of God. He acknowledges God's decree in all this. He acknowledges that this had to happen. Or he says that there was a greater, a higher purpose in it. That this death of the Son of God, that was for the salvation of the Church of God, that had it never happened, that now one sinner could be saved. Or he acknowledges that God had decreed it, that God had permitted it, that God had guided it in everything. It was a determinate counsel. It was a determinate foreknowledge of God. And yet, he says, ye have crucified and slain. Thus, he says that decree of God, that foreknowledge of God, that counsel of God that does not take away your sin, that does not take away your great responsibility, oh, how that lives in our hearts. We will blame God because we cannot help it, and we will excuse ourselves. But what do we read? Is the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, when that Spirit of the Lord comes in our life, then we see something. Then we acknowledge something. No, then we do not argue against the sovereignty of God anymore. But then God, He comes on His throne. And then it is so consistent with that sovereign decree of God, that I remain a responsible creature and that I am accountable for my own sin. We say the effects, they are they by which the presence of the Spirit of the Lord may be known. Or have we ever experienced something of the effects of that Spirit of the Lord? It is an accusation. What is that accusation? Say that is manslaughter. It is not only manslaughter. There are degrees of sin. And Peter, He exposes the magnitude of the sin of that people by that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Oh, that is the work of the Spirit. Then sin that will not be seen as a light thing in our eyes. But the Lord, He will show how great that our sins and our miseries are. What does He accuse that people of? Well, He accuses them of rejecting the Messiah. He accuses them of rejecting God's only begotten Son. He accuses them of rejecting the Savior that He had sent into the world. You must read it again when you come home, because we do not have time to do everything. But there you can read how He lays out the prophecies concerning who He was. And He speaks about His humiliation. And He speaks about His exaltation. And how that He is now sitting at that right hand of power. Then it is not just any man in this world that they have crucified and slain, but they have taken the Son of God Himself. Oh, He accuses them of sin so especially to be a sin against God? Did you ever see your sin to be so especially a sin against God? He accuses them of sinning against the very Son of God Himself. He accuses them of rejecting that Son of God Himself, that they slew Him. What does that word mean? It means that they dispatched Him, and that they rid themselves of Him, and that they put Him, as it were, out of their lives. Oh, that was a sin that He accused them of, that was a special insult against God Himself. Oh, did you ever feel your sin to be such? That it was a sin against God, against Him in a personal way? Oh, that was a sin by which God so rightly would be so filled with anger. No, they did not do that immediately to Him. No, we can read that it was the culmination of their sin. It was the height of their sin. It was the epitome of their sin. Oh, first they heard His gracious words. First they ate of the loaves that He did multiply. They came to Him with all of their disease. But then time went on. And then they were disappointed. And why were they disappointed? Well, because they had carnal expectations. Because they wanted Him as a king for this world. Because they thought He could deliver them from the Romans. And if they would not have to be subject to the Romans, then they would be a free people. And He could give them bread to eat when there was famine. And when they were sick, they could come to Him with all their diseases. And so they wanted to make Him king. And when they wanted to make Him king, He refused. And so they were disappointed in Him. And then that humility, when He would not take the throne, and how that cut to their heart. And then the enemy, when the Romans, they are saying, "Behold your king, such a man." So they in their pride do say, "We have no such king. No, we have no king but Caesar. Crucify him." Him being delivered by the determining counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It is an accusation of a sin against the goodness of God, of a sin against the love of God, against the mercy of God. What do we read? Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Oh, how that Spirit of the Lord is able to touch the quick of the heart of a man, to make him to mourn. Because that Spirit of the Lord that is accusing them of sinning against a good-doing God, approved of God among you, when He walked among you, oh, His approval of God was so evident, it was so manifest. The miracles, the wonders, the signs, the plain evidences before your sight every day, they were unmistakable proofs of the existence of God among you. And they were unmistakable proofs of the presence of the Lord, of the power of the Lord. They were unmistakable proofs of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what kind of signs were they? They were signs of His mercy. They were signs of His grace. They were not thunderings and lightnings. The disciples, they have asked for that. When the Samaritans, they did not receive the Lord Jesus, shall we ask that lightning comes out of heaven to destroy them? Then they may know who that thou art. But He refused. The Son of Man, He has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. The miracles which I do, they are evidences that I come in the way of mercy, that I come in the way of grace, which God did by Him in the midst of you as a privileged people, passing by so many people in this world, as ye yourselves also know. Oh, what is it? It is an appeal to their own conscience. They can deny it with their mouth, but He says, you know it. You know it in your heart of hearts. I do not have to tell it to you. Or even in the conviction of sin, the Spirit is witnessing with the spirit of that people so that it cannot be denied. So that the Spirit of the Lord says unto you, as ye yourselves also know, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You have closed your eyes to all that you have seen, the wonders of God. You have hardened your hearts against all the evidences, the signs, the miracles. You have closed your ears to His gracious words, to the grace and the mercy that the miracles have shown and that His words they have spoken of unto you. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and crucified and slain by wicked hands. Let us sing. 102 stanzas 1-4. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1-4 of Psalter 102.
Thank you.
us, congregation, Peter's bold accusation that is not easy, that is never easy, but the Spirit of the Lord that makes Peter faithful. But Solomon, he says that he that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue. And the word of God is true. And so we see that in our second thought, the blessing upon this accusation. What is that blessing? Well, we hear it. We hear the sound of it. That is, men and brethren, what shall we do? You say, is that a blessing? That is the greatest blessing that we can receive in our life. Men and brethren, what shall we do? These are men that do not know what to do. And why? Because of their guilt. And we would like to ask that question. If ever in your life you were brought to that place by the Spirit of the Lord that you did not know what to do, where to go with your guilt, what is it? It is the fruit of the working of the Spirit of the Lord, bringing the word of the Lord into the hearts of this people, and that with a great power. Not one man, but 3,000 men. Then we can attribute it to nothing else, because if we go later, then we can see how that Stephen makes accusation, how that Paul makes accusation, and then so similar, but without this same effect. Then we read that they gnashed upon him with their teeth, that they cried out, "Away with this man, because it is not fit that he should live." Oh, man does not want to be accused, especially when that accusation that is putting the finger on the mark. Oh, when it is touching the quick. And then without the Spirit of the Lord, then man rebels. Man becomes angry. But not so on the day of Pentecost. Oh, here we read what happens when that Spirit of the Lord is working. And when the Spirit is bringing that word of the Lord into the heart of a man, no, then there is no rebellion. But then there is a crying out under our wretchedness and under our misery. We read it is the fruit of the pricking of the heart. Oh, that is a place that no man can enter. We cannot enter there. Peter could not enter there. The disciples could not enter there. Sure, there was a means. Sure, there was the preaching of that word of God. That is what belonged unto them. And it was by that word, because we read it was when they heard this. Oh, do you ever think that when you come into the house of the Lord, that it could be that you hear something? Oh, do you ever ask the Lord, "Lord, give me to hear something"? Oh, not that I just may understand with my mind, no, but that I might hear this in a very different way. Because what kind of hearing do these men receive? Well, they ask a question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Do you ever ask questions, maybe in school, children, boys and girls, mother, father, teacher? I have a question. Minister, elder, catechism class, I have a question. And your question, well, you want to know something more. You want to know why, or you want to know what that doctrine is. But did you ever now have a question like the Spirit works? Because what kind of question is that? Oh, that is not just a question about a certain doctrine, no. but that is a question that is coming out of a heart that has begun to live. Oh, that is a question that is coming out of a heart that does not know what to do. That is a question that is coming out of a pricked heart. Oh, that is a heart wherein pride has been broken, wherein all the foolishness of the heart that has been acknowledged and confessed. And now they speak about their ignorance, that they do not know what to do. Oh, did you ever ask? Oh, what a blessing that would be when we would have a congregation with such a question. I do not know what to do. Why would that be such a blessing? Because there came such an opening there. Such an opening for the apostles. Oh, never was there so much place in the hearts of men for the Lord Jesus Christ, as we can read was on the day of Pentecost. We heard that this morning. And then it was not that the Spirit came to speak about Himself, no. But He came to speak and to make room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what He made there? He made there 3,000 stables. 3,000 hearts that were full of sin. 3,000 hearts that were guilty. And when the Spirit does this, oh, then the Spirit gives such a freedom unto Peter and to the other apostles that they may do what? Oh, that they may speak. That they may speak over against that question unto this people. That they may speak about that one name that is given under heaven among men. Oh, there was so much room for it in the heart of that people to speak about grace, to speak about mercy, and that for the chiefest of the sinners to say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for a remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, how precious then was that name of Jesus. How sweet the sound, so that 3,000 persons, they may receive Him into their heart. Oh, congregation, that bold accusation of Peter that became that effectual accusation of the Spirit of the Lord. That is the external call, oh, that became for them in that moment an internal call. He pricked 3,000 men in their hearts and made room for that blessed Savior. Oh, what a wonder if we could preach a sermon, if we could preach a sermon by which the Lord would prick the hearts and where He would make room for His only begotten Son. What a wonder that would be. And what did Peter say to them? Whereby this room was made. Well, he accused them. And we cannot just accuse you, because we have to start with ourselves, so that it belongs to each and every one of us. But then he uses that word ye. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Congregation, did you ever see your own sin in it? I know a man for whom this has become his sin. And then he can tell you how that he was laying on the floor as if a man was pressing him down so that he could not rise up from that floor. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And then he will tell you that it was not my neighbor, but that it was me that had nailed the Lord Jesus Christ unto that cross. or the rejection of Christ. That is not something that can be done by the heathen. No, that is done by a people who have heard of his name. That is a sin against blessings received. The Lord Jesus says, "Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which have been done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in dust and in ashes." How many stripes? How many stripes will we be beaten with who have known the way and have not walked therein? What does Christ mean to us? What does Christ mean to us? Let us be honest, because we can speak many words, but that Spirit of the Lord, he is a searcher of our hearts. Him ye have crucified and slain. Is that not rightly the accusation of the Spirit of the Lord against us also? Him ye have crucified and slain. How? Well, we have done that in our choice. Just as that Jewish nation. We have done that in our choice of all that is temporal. When we have no desire for those things which are spiritual. When it is sufficient for us to have a form of religion as they did. But we want him for what? Well, we want him because we need rain for our crops. We want him because that we need a physician when we are sick. We want him because we need food and drink and we need to come through this life. But begin to speak about a spiritual need. And what do we say? We say, "Crucify him." Him ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. We are lovers of self, and we are servers of self, and servers of this world. As ye yourselves also know. I don't have to say it to you. I know it, and you know it. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And we say, "Crucify him." Or am I wrong? Him ye have crucified and slain. How? We have rejected him in his kingly office. What does a king do? He gives a law. And what will we have to do with his law? What mean his commandments unto us, really? I mean, do we not say we will not have this man to reign over us? Our own opinion that is more important to us than that holy word of God. That we would search out what really is the meaning of that law of God. Then we say, well, this is the way I have always done it, or this is actually the way I want to do it. Satan said to Adam, "Ye shall be as gods, ye shall make your own law, what is right, what is wrong." Him ye have crucified and slain. When we have done what? When we have rejected him in his prophetical office. Or do you not do so? We reject His word. Or is His word more precious to us than every other book? Fathers, mothers, we begin now with the children, we must begin with us. But it goes also to you, young people. How is it? You would rather read a novel than the Bible, right? You would rather watch a movie on your device, right? Or am I wrong? The apostle says, as ye yourselves also know. And how do we receive that word of God when we read it? Do we receive it as His word? That He has spoken, that it is surely coming to pass? Him ye have crucified and slain. How? Well, we have rejected Him in His kingly office. We have rejected Him in His prophetical office. We have rejected Him in His priestly office. What has He done in His priestly office? Well, He has given Himself for a sacrifice for sin. But we do not even want to confess our sin. No, we want to hold on to our sin. If I confess my sin, that means I have to leave my sin. Then I have to say that it is sin. But when I do not confess my sin, then there can come no room for the prophetical office of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was never suitable to you, was He? Never precious to you? No, that cannot be. It cannot be if sin has never become sin to us in our life. And we want to continue on in our sin. Oh, ye yourselves also know it. Him. Have you crucified and slain? Slain Him in His divinity. Despised His divinity. Who needs His divinity? Children, young people. Who needs Him? He is proclaimed to us in the reading services, in the preaching, in the word, when we read it in our own home over and over and over again. In His power. But we do not become as one who is weak. What do? We uphold ourselves. Do we need the power of God in our life? We will do it ourselves. For what then do we need a Savior? Him. Him ye have crucified and slain. We have despised His human nature. We have despised what He has done in His human nature. We have despised His suffering. How many weeks have gone by when the passion of Christ has not been set before us Sabbath day after Sabbath day? Oh, ye yourselves also know it. Do not put it aside in this hour. No, suffer it for a moment, young people. I know it is time. Suffer it for a moment to take hold of your heart. Ask the Lord in this moment. Say, Lord, bring it in my heart. I cannot convict myself. I cannot show myself my sin. I cannot prick myself in the heart. O Spirit of the Lord, do you come with a prayer in your heart? Do you sit with a prayer in your heart? O that precious Son of God, in all His suffering, and to us no form, no comeliness, Him, Peter says, ye have crucified and slain. Crucified Him. When our hearts, they have turned away. Turned away from all the warnings, the callings of the Lord, providences of the Lord. How many deaths? And what have we done? They are there as a warning to us. Today me, tomorrow you. And what do we say? We say, tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. And we harden ourselves. And we say that family there is sorrowing. Poor family. And I go on. And the warnings. The warnings of which ye yourselves also know. Him. Ye. Have crucified and slain. When we have done what? When we have argued. Maybe not with our mouth. Maybe it was only in our heart. But that we have argued with the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. When we have hidden behind it. When we have gone Sabbath day after Sabbath day out of that house of the Lord. And said, the Lord did not do it. The Lord did not convert me. And the Lord has to convert me. Also very true. But it became for us a hiding place. When at the same time, that name of that beloved Son of God has been laid before you Sabbath after Sabbath. But Him, ye, have crucified and slain. And your hearts have pricked you. Sometimes. Have they not? Because there is no one, young or old, whose heart sometimes does not prick you. And you say, I know that I am going in the wrong way. But you love your sin. And so you keep going on in your sin. And you will not confess your sin. And you will not forsake your sin. And you will therefore not set up a table in your heart where that Savior may sit and eat with publicans and with sinners. And so all the blessed invitations as He weeps over you. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Him, ye have crucified and slain. Can there be a sin that is more loathsome before the Father than this? Oh, will not the Father when we continue on in this sin, will not the Father save us, bind him hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness? There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. O congregation, may the Lord prick your heart, that you may learn to cry out in this very day, men and brethren, what shall we do? Because for that people there is hope. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Lord add his blessing. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou thyself prick our hearts, because we also are so guilty, but we need it to be brought in our heart by thy own Spirit. O, we ask of thee, Lord, that thou thyself would not leave us to go out of this place in this hour without stopping us. O, remember us. Look on us in the week to come. Give meditation upon thy holy word. Help each one in the place he has in this world. Help us as a consistory when we hope to meet. Keep us all from a sudden and an unprepared death. Forgive our sins also of this hour, and we may acknowledge thee for thy help, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 233, 2, 3, and 6. O Lord, be merciful to me, for all the day to thee I cry. Rejoice thy servant, for to thee I lift my soul, O Lord Most High. I lift my soul, O Lord Most High. 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 233. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.